Good afternoon, everybody. Today we will discuss a little bit the Hilchos Gittin. Yom Kippur begins with a Hatoras Nedarim. We recite Kol Nidre. And there are two versions of Kol Nidre. So the famous version before the Rabin and Tom came and changed it, famous version was that it's an act of Hatoras Nedarim on all of the Nedarim that we took in the course of the past year, Yom Kippur Shavar, Adi Yom Kippurim Hazed, the Rabbeinu Tam changed it. And Yeshiva, we say both versions, like the Chayodim recommends. But the Rabbeinu Tam changed it, that it shouldn't be a Hatoras Nedarim on the Nedarim that were taken in the course of the past year that's ending, but rather a declaration, a Mesiras Medo in advance of the Nedarim that we plan to take in the course of the coming year, Yom Kippurim Zad Yom Kippurim Ha'abalein L'Toivo, till next Yom Kippur. So what is that all about? Why do we start off Yom Kippur with an act of Hatoras Nedarim? So there are different explanations. So there's such a strange practice we have when a man is interested in divorcing his wife. So we start off with a Hatoras Nedarim. What are you doing a Hatoras Nedarim for? So in Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef on Eben Ezra quotes a minority opinion in the Rishonim, but we're chashish for this, that the get has to be given mirtzona hatov, out of the husband's free will. If it's a get musa, if somebody pressured the husband to give the get, then it's no good. What if the one who pressured the husband was himself? He took a shvuah that he's going to give his wife a get. Or he made a tkias kaf, he shook hands with his wife. Or he shook hands with his father-in-law, he promised and he did a tkias kaf. So in the end of Yeridaya, it says that a tkias kaf has this choymer hadin like a shvuah. So if the husband took a shvuah and then he gives a get in order not to violate the shvuah, there's a minority group of rishonim, but a significant minority say that that's called the get bal korchai. He's giving the get out of his own free will. He's giving the get in order not to have to violate the shvuah, not to violate the tkias kaf. And then we have that's already a chumrah. Then we have a chumrah on top of a chumrah. What if he didn't pledge? What if he didn't take a shvuah to give a get? But he said, he obligated himself. He said, if I don't give you the get by January 5th, I'll pay you a penalty of $25,000. And he rushes to give the get before in order not to have to pay the penalty of the $25,000. So that's a chumrah already. The first one is also a chumrah. Because Rav Rishonim hold that's not called the get bal korchai. He's the one who took the shvuah. Nobody pressured him into taking the shvuah. So this is a chumrah on top of a chumrah, that even if he didn't commit himself to give the get, but he accepted upon himself a knas mamet. If he doesn't give it, he says, I'm gonna give the get by this and this date, and if I don't give it, I'll pay you a penalty of $25,000, $100,000, whatever. So that's a chumrah that's also considered a get bal korchai. So before the Beis Din is Mesadar a get, though you always ask the husband, did you take a shvuah or did you make a tkias kaf? Did you shake hands with your father-in-law or with your wife to commit yourself to give a get? And the husband says, no, he did not. That's the truth. And then they say, maybe you did take a shvuah, maybe you did make a tkias kaf and you forgot. Would you want us to be matar the shvuah? So he says, yes, I request the hataras shvuah. So they say, mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. And then he says, now that I'm free, now that I'm not obligated, I say out of my own free will, I want to give a get to my wife. It shouldn't be a get bal korchai. By Yom Kippur, it's a big question, totally different explanations, why we start Yom Kippur off with Hataras Nedarim. But why you give a get? Why do you start off to say to haget with Hataras Nedarim? That we understand. When a couple gets engaged, so the practice used to be both by Sfardim and by Ashkenazim, there used to be a practice, they would sign Tanoim. Very strange that this practice was developed both by Ashkenazim and by Sfardim. We look in the Shulchan Aruch. Mechaber talks about it, and in Eastern Europe, they also had it by the Ashkenazim. So what is a Tanoim all about? Tanoim is the chosen pledges that he's going to marry the girl by a certain date. Within reason, he got engaged, he's going to wait 20 years to hold the girl dangling. So he's going to get married to her within a year or within a couple of months. And if he doesn't shtel a chuppah within a couple of months, he accepts, or if he backs out from the shidduch, he accepts upon himself a penalty. And you put a large sum of money there. any case, usually that, and then you're right, in the event that the chosen's side is not able to pay that, the chosen doesn't have so much money, then they pick every chunkle, he should be the orif. He should back up the chosen. In case, if the chosen backs out from the shidduch, there's an orif, a rich relative, who will pay the money instead. And the kala also pledges, and you make a kabbalah's kinyan with the chosen and with the kala, that each one pledges that they're going to go through with the, they're going to marry within a couple of months. And if they don't go through with the shidduch, if they back out, they'll pay a penalty. So that's the kasha that the Yeshua's Yankiv is. Yeshua's Yankiv is a sefer written in the middle of the 1800s by one Nigdala from Galicia. It's on Shulchan Aruch. So he, the Pischei Tshuva in Heaven Ezra Simen Mem, quotes this kasha from Yeshua's Yankiv. Whenever you make a tanaim, then you have the chuppah. So why isn't that based on this chumrah? That if the person took a knas mamon, then the get is bal karchai. So then you should consider a kiddushin bal karchai. So how come we're machmer only by the get? Why aren't we machmer by the kiddushin? That if the chosin or the kala, if either of one accepted upon himself a knas mamon, that it should be considered a kiddushin bal karchai. So the simple answer is that this whole thing is a chumrah on top of a chumrah. That the first thing, the first step is already a chumrah. It's only a minority of the Rishonim say that if he pledged with a shvua or tkiyas kap to give a get, that is called a get pakorcha. So to begin with, that's only a minority opinion. So we're machma for that. And then we're machma chumrah on top of a chumrah that if he accepted a knas mamon, it's also considered a balkorcha. So a chumrah on top of a chumrah, all right, by a get. If an ashes ish, married, lives with someone else, that's an Issa Koret, that's an Issa Misa. So you want to be Machma by Eshes Ish, but they say the Kiddushin, and if the Kiddushin is not Chal, so he's living with a single girl, be Issa, they're living in sin. No. So it's an Issa. But an Issa Lav, an Issa Rese, whatever, but it's not an Issa Koret, it's not an Issa Misa. So we're only Machma for these opinions by the Get, where if the Get is puzzle, she's going to be an Eshes Ish, having an affair with the second husband. But by Kiddushin, the worst it'll be is an Issa Lav, Lasiya Kadesha, an Issa Rese. So you're not Machmed. That's a simple answer. The Chelkas Yoav gives a different answer. The Chelkas Yoav was sort of a Talmud. He was a Chassidish Rebbe also, like the Sochet Shova Rebbe, like the Avdin Ezer. I think he was a Talmud of the Avdin Ezer, but then he became a big Goyen on his own. And he has Chuvis in his Sefer, Chelkas Yoav. So he has an essay about this. He suggests that Gerushin needs a higher level of das than Kiddushin. We know that you don't always need the same level of das for everything. By Nidorim and Shvuas, you don't need the same high level of das that you need by Mekar HaMemkar. By Nidorim and Shvuas, the din is that a mufla samach liyish. A child the year before Bar Mitzvah, his neder is also binding. It's a machlokes in the Gemara, in Maseches Nida, where the mufla samach liish ish is a bar mitzvah, samach means the year before, soon before he or she becomes bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah. So that's a machlekes in the Gemara Nida, where the mufla samach liish is a din deraisa, din derabbanan. Halacha lemaisa, it's machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid had a paskin, where the mufla samach liish is a din deraisa, din derabbanan. But even if it's a din derabbanan, it's based on the assumption that the level of das that's necessary by Inyani Haflor, by Nedorim and Aziris and Shvuas, Hegdeshis and Erchem and Haram, and all of the Haproshes, Trumas and Isis, also an Inyan of Haflor. Haflor means Yifarish Bisfasov. Yifarish Bisfasov. Things that Echal, the Ramam has Yud Dalit Svarim, the Yarach Hazoka has 14 Svarim. Mada, Habaz Manim, so one of them is called Sefer Haflor. So Sefer HaFlor is all about Inyan and Dorim, Mishavus, and Aziris, and Erech, and the Haram, and the Hagdashis. That's called HaFlor. So the fact that even if you hold that Mufla, Samachalish is only with the Rabbanon, but called the Tikkun Rabbanon, came the Raisa Tikkun, is based on an assumption on the level of the Raisa, that the level of Das that's needed for Inyan and HaFlor is not the same high level that's needed by Mekar HaMemkar. That's why it's easier to knock off, let's say, a person took a net and they said, "Oh, Gavald, I made a mistake. If I would have realized how difficult it's going to be to observe this netter, I would never have taken the netter." So if what he's saying is true, if it's really true, even though you can't say it's a toys and it's not an umdir in the muchach, that's what he tells us. He tells us if he would have realized this at the time that he took the neder, he would never have taken the neder. So if it's true and the Bezin says mutalach, 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 then they declare the neder is a neder b'tos. So if a man gets married and he says, oh, I didn't realize what a witch she was. If I would have, she says, I didn't realize what a meshugan of the husband is. If I would have realized, I would never have married him. So you can't do that. I buy real estate, I buy shares in a corporation, and the real estate goes down, and the shares in the company go down. So I'll say, if I would have realized that it's going to go down, I would never have bought it. So you'll destroy the whole world of business. You can't say like that. So why does it only work by Nedarim, Shvuos, and Hekdeshes? So you mean because you don't need such a high level of das, it's easier to knock it off. They declare it as a neder b'tos. But by Mekach HaMemka, by Gittin Kedushin, you can't knock off a kid. You might say, if I would have realized it's going to go down, if I would have realized that I'm not going to be happily married, I wouldn't have married her. You can't say it like that. So you see from the halacha that the different levels of das are needed for different things. That's what the Chel Kasyoyev has, a chiddush. He thinks that by a get, the das habal that's needed is stronger. You need a stronger, that's quite a decision. To get married is a more difficult decision than to sell real estate. Get married, that's going to be for the rest of your life. You're going to be married to this person. You're going to be raising a family together. You're going to be living together. So that's a serious decision. To get divorced is a more serious decision. So you need a higher level of das. So the Chel Kasyoyev explains it with a mashal. So he says, let's say a person is carrying a piano on his back. It has to be very, very strong. He's carrying the piano all on his own. What if two people are carrying the piano? So it's easier. He's helping me, I'm helping him. So the both of us, it's easier for both of us. So he says, by Kiddushin, you need Das HaBal and Das HaIsha. So both together are carrying the burden of having the Das. But by Get, the Din is, strictly speaking, the Get can be given Bal Korcha, Shelo Isha. The Rabbeinu Gershom made a cherem that you're not allowed to give a get bal korcha. That's an isa de rabbanim. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Tshuvas Haran. The Ran and the Tshuvas is of the opinion that the isa to be megarish and isha bal korcha is an isa de raisa. It's not just an isa de rabbanim. So what did Rabbeinu Gershom add? He added a curse that if a man divorces his wife bal korcha, the Bezdin curses him. Rabbeinu Gershom curses him. He should drop dead. That's what a cherem is. Cherem is a curse that nechnas into the ramach evorim. The Gemara says, Cherem is the same osia, says Ramach. And if the person dies, Mishamez b'niduyo, doesn't put a person a Cherem or a Nidui, and then he dies, we treat him like Haruge Bezdin, and the children don't observe Avelos. So the Ran holds, that's what the Rabbeinu Gershom added on the Cherem, but the prohibition not to be Megarish Bal Korcha, he married her and he promised to love, honor, and cherish her. So that's how you respect, that's how you honor your wife, by getting rid of her. I divorced my wife and I married the secretary who's 20 years younger than my wife. That's showing respect, love, honor, and cherish for your wife. So when he got married, he pledged to treat her decently. So it's self-understood that it's an Issa Deraisa. He's violating his commitment by divorcing her Balkor. That's what the Tshuvas Haran in Shulchan Aruch HaMenazah, they quote the Tshuvas Haran. Yeah, but strictly speaking, if you give the get bar korcha, the get will be chal. It's ben adam lachaver, it's an isa, but the get will be chal bar korcha. So that's what the Chel Kasyoyev says. By the get, you don't have the ish and the isha both carrying the piano together. That makes the burden easier on both of them. You don't need alpidin, the das or isha is irrelevant. So the whole thing rests on the das habal. So he has to be very strong. He has to have a stronger degree of das to carry the burden of the whole das with the whole kinyan, because it's not being shared by both of them. That's what he says. Rav Soloveitchik said over the name of Rav Chaim, and Rav Shach has the same in his sefer. He doesn't have it b'shem Rav Chaim. He has everything, the whole word that Rav Soloveitchik said, he has it without quoting it b'shem Rav Chaim. He learned a lot by Rav Dovah Lo Soloveitchik, so he quotes a lot b'shem Rav Chaim. This one he doesn't quote. That what? Rav Chaim said like that also, that Das HaBal by Gerushin is a higher level of Das. You need a greater level of Das. Rav Chaim said it based on Abzeres HaKosim, not based on a Svara, that if one person carries the piano, it has to be very strong. Two people carry the piano, so since they share the burden, so it's lighter. Each one makes it lighter for the other one. That's the Chel Kasyoyev gave that much. Rav Chaim just says, you look in the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Gerushin, so he lists off the 10 dinim derais. So one of the dinim is, the husband has to give the get to his wife out of his own free will. Shitalan Labi Daito, and a pasuk. He quotes a pasuk from Chumash, a drasha, and a pasuk. Why do you need a pasuk? Every star. Anyway, a get is a kinyan star, a star kinyan. Whenever there's a kinyan star, you need das bala star. Of course, you need midas. What do you need a pasuk? A new pasuk that the get has to be midas. It must be that you need a higher level of das by a get than you would need by any other star kinyan. So Rav Chaim said the same as the Chelkos Yoyev, that again, he said it to answer a different kasha. The Rambam quotes a Gemara in Erchin, a Mishnah in Erchin and a Gemara in Erchin, that sometimes you have a Mishnayis and Ksubis that a couple is married and the wife is not happily married and the Bezdin is kai for the husband and the Bezdin feels that it's not fair on the part of the husband that he doesn't give his wife a get. He's acting like a miserable husband. So sometimes the halacha says that the Bezdin recommends to the husband he should give a get. And sometimes they pressure him, they force him to give a get. That's by the Rabbanut and Eretz Yisrael. In the days of the Gemara, they would makanosa, they would beat him up. Until you tell her, either she'll become an almana or a grusha. We give you the choice. We want you to give a get. We'd like you to make her into a grusha. And if you don't agree, we're going to beat you until you drop dead. They don't, that's not really what they do. Kofanosach, Makanosach, Tetze Nafsho, Rav Chaim Heller was a big Talmid Chacham. He was a great goyin. He had a Beis Medrash in Berlin. When Rav Soloveitchik was going to university in Berlin, he used to go to learn in Rav Chaim Heller's Beis Medrash. They only let in people there who knew half of Shas. They were big, very big Talmid Chacham, and a lot of them were going to university at the same time. Some of them were going to university at the same time. So Rav Chaim Heller was this great goyin. So he knew Arabic. So one of the things that he did in Europe before he came to America, before he lived in Manhattan, one of the things that he did in Europe was every so often the Sefer HaMitzvos L'Rambam was originally written in Arabic. Those of us who are not familiar with Arabic, so we use the Hebrew translation by whoever, Ibn Tibbon, or whoever made the translation. So he writes in the introduction to his translation, so they always thought that it was, he wrote out of humility, I don't really know Arabic so well, but I'm going to try to translate. So Rav Chaim Heller says, no, he didn't know Arabic so well. So every so often he made a mistranslation and he wrote the wrong word. So Rav Chaim Heller reprinted the Sefer HaMitzvos L'Rambam with the old translation from Ibn Tibbon, but every so often when it's a mistake, so he'll correct it. And he has footnotes at the bottom of the page. So in one of the footnotes, he writes, it's not really relevant to the text of the Sefer HaMitzvos. So they say that when the Rav Chaim Heller's Sefer HaMitzvos was printed, so they said that during the lifetime of the Chafetz Chaim. So the Chafetz Chaim said that no one's allowed to use the old translation, because the Gemara says in Ksubis, you're not permitted to hold the Sefer She'ena Muga. If you have a Sefer Torah that has a mistake in it, or a Gemara that has mistakes in it, it's also to hold the Sefer She'ena Muga in your home. Based on the Pasuk in Mishle, Al Tashken Bo'alecha Avla. It's an Avla to have a Sefer that has a mistake. So he said, the old Sefer HaMitzvos, the Chofetz Chaim said, the old Sefer HaMitzvos has mistakes there and there. So you're not allowed to use the old one, you have to use Rav Chaim Heller's. Now they have more up-to-date translations of the Sefer Mitzvah. Chaim Heller took the old translation, which is such a difficult Hebrew. It's like literal translation, word for word, phrase by phrase. And Rav Chaim Heller, whenever there was a mistake, so he touched it up over there, but he left the old translation. Now they have modern translations. Rav Kapach made a modern translation. So it reads much easier. It reads like you would read an Israeli newspaper. So it's even easier to read. So Rav Chaim Heller in a footnote there quotes a Shita Mukubetzis on the Gemara when the Gemara says if a person doesn't want to fulfill a mitzvah, makanos acha teitzei nafsho. So what does it mean? You beat him up until he drops dead. So the Shita Mukubetzis translates acha teitzei nafsho till he becomes unconscious. You tell a guy, you have to eat matzah tonight. He says, I don't want to eat matzah. So we beat him up. You want to eat matzah? No. He still says, I don't want to eat matzah. You keep on beating him up till he finally says, till he says yes. Or, what do you mean, till he drops dead? So what do you keep on beating him for? Once he's unconscious, he can't answer anymore. So that's what the Shita Mekubetzin says, Asher Teitzin Nafshe, is not to be translated till he drops dead, but rather until he becomes unconscious. But that's how this story goes. Rebbe Kivega once asked the husband that according to the din, you're supposed to give your wife a get because you're not acting properly. The husband said he doesn't want to, so he said, I give you the choice. You want your wife to be an almana or a grusha. We're going to beat you up. We have the right to beat you up. Rebbe Kivega, Rebbe Kivega lived in Germany. There was freedom of religion. You can't force a man to give his wife a get. He can say, I'm not religious. I don't want to follow in America. You can't force someone to give his wife a get. It's a freedom of religion here. The guy says, I'm not Orthodox. The Reform don't believe in any gittin. So you can't do that here. So they say Rebbe Kivega gave him the choice. Do you want to give your wife a get or see to it that your wife will become an almana? So he refused to give a get. So his story goes that he walked out of Rebbe Kivega's house, he fell down a flight of stairs and he got killed. He bumped his head on the concrete, whatever. Probably was not concrete, whatever. However, the story goes that the guy died. The Gemara in Erchin says that sometimes the Bezin forces a person to give a get. But the din is the get has to be nidaito. So it says, kofenoso, you beat him up, acheyeme roitzani, till he says, okay, I want to give the get. What do you mean? That's also bal korcha. What does it help that he says roitzani? So I think the pashup shat in the Mishnah means he has to volunteer something on his own that we didn't force him to say. If we keep on beating him up and we say, you have to agree to give your wife a get, and we keep on beating and beating until he finally says, okay, I give in. That's all. I'm giving the get. So that's no good. That's not called roitzani. Roitzani means he says, I wanted to give my wife a get anyway. What are you beating me up for? I was going to give her a get anyway. He has to volunteer something that we didn't force him to do. He has to volunteer something more than what we're forcing him. So then we say that it's considered get midaita. So when the Rambam quotes that din in Hilchas Kiddushin, the Rambam quotes such a case that the girl forced the boy. The girl held the gun up to the boy and said, if you don't marry me, I'm going to shoot you. And then the boy agreed, okay. So the Rambam doesn't say over there, roitzani. So the Ravid is masik. The Rambam forgot to write roitzani. Or in Hilchas Gzela, the Rambam quotes the din of Tal Yuhu Vizavin. If someone has a painting, let's say, a wealthy person has a Rembrandt or has beautiful furniture, whatever, and it's not for sale. This is his property in his apartment. And I offer him $1,000. He says, no, he doesn't want to sell. You offer him $100,000, doesn't want to sell it. I hold up a gun and I say, either you sell me or I shoot you. And I pay him the full price. I pay him the $100,000. That's how much it's worth. If I say, either you sell it to me for a dollar or I shoot you and it's worth $100,000, that's called Tal Yuhu V'Yohiv. That means I pressured the person till he gave me a matana. But if I give him the full value of the going market price, how much it's worth. But it wasn't for sale. He didn't want to sell it. But the Gemara says that sometimes, let's say, if a person makes a bad business in investment and he loses a lot of money, then sometimes he's going to sell the Rembrandt. Sometimes if he'll get stuck, B'shas HaTak, he won't have a choice. I'll have to pay up all of his chaybah, so he will sell it. So here, under the circumstances, since someone is threatening to kill him, unless he sells the painting, and it's not unreasonable to sell the painting of $100,000, that's how much it costs, but he doesn't want to part with it. But now, under these circumstances, he does agree. So the Rambam quotes that din, that's a din in Cheskas Habatim, Tal Yuhu Bizavin, if someone pressured me to sell some of my personal belongings to him, and it wasn't really for sale. If I come into the store and everything in the store is for sale, so it's for sale. So that's not a shiloh of Tal Yuhu. But if the person has his own private Rembrandt hanging on the wall, he has the furniture, he doesn't want to sell it, he has an automobile, doesn't want to sell it. But then I threaten to kill him unless he sells it to me and I pay him the right money. So there are quotes that didn't ignore that it's chal. So the Ravid says over there also, the Rambam forgot to say roitzani. So from the Rambam would appear that he holds you only need roitzani by the get. That's the Mishnah in Erchin and Avchav. But by the Kiddushin, he holds that you don't need Roitzani, and by the Mekka Hamemko, also Tzan from the Ramad, you don't need Roitzani. So that's what Rab Soloveitchik said, B'shem Rab Chaim, and that Rab Shach has in his sefer the same. But the Ramam would appear that you need a higher level of Das by Gerishin, because the Ramam quotes that as one of the Asaradinim, one of the 10 Alochas of Hilchas Gittin, She'itinen Alom Yidait, you need a higher level of Das by a Get than you would have needed by Ishtar Kiddushin, higher level of Das than what you would have needed by Ishtar Mechiras Karka. Okay, so that's why by a get you need roitzani, but by the other things the Rama holds you don't need roitzani. So the din is that a get has to be given midaita, and sometimes the bezin has the right to force a person to give a get, but then he has to say roitzani at the end if they're pressuring him, they're beating him up, and then he has to volunteer something more than what they pressured him to do. Yeah, what's the nature of a get? So there are two types of shtoris. There's a shtar kinyan and there's a shtar raya. A shtar kinyan, let's say I'm selling you karka, I'm giving you karka and matona. So the shtar affects a change. So the shtar kiddushin, a shtar get, is a shtar kinyan. It's affecting a change. It's canceling the issues. And then there's a shtar raya. Let's say I sold you the karka and you paid me $500,000 for the karka. And then you want a shtar raya that the karka belongs to you. So I write a shtar. The shtar doesn't accomplish that the karka belongs to you. You already paid the $500,000. You made a chazaka, you made a kinyan chalipin on it, so the karka belongs to you already. The shtar is just to serve as a shtar raya. So bizman ha-gemara, the get used to serve as both as the shtar kinyan to cancel the marriage, and also as a shtar raya if the woman will want to remarry later, but she was married to the first husband for 25 years. So how is she going to prove that she got divorced? We know the husband is still alive. How is she going to prove that she got divorced, that she's allowed to remarry? So she holds on to the get, and the get, at the time that the get was given, so it created the gerushin. It canceled the marriage, and now the get serves as a shtar raya. For the last several centuries, the practice is that we don't leave the get by the woman. The Misadar HaGet, the rabbi who supervised the writing of the get, takes the get back and he keeps it on his file. And we give the woman a document signed by a bezin. In Yiddish, you call it a ptur. I remember once a woman came to my father. She wanted to remarry. So my father said, "You were previously married. Did you have a get?" She says, "Yeah." An Orthodox bezin took care of the get. And my father said, "Where's the document?" So she had a ptur that was typed in French. She got divorced in France. So my father didn't know, we didn't know how to read French. But my mother was born in Montreal. And she was brought up in Montreal, used to be all French Canadians. So my mother read the Ptur. That's where it was signed by three Orthodox rabbis. That normally the Ptur is always written in Hebrew, whatever country you live in. You live in America, you don't write the Ptur in English. But for some reason or another, these three Orthodox rabbis from France typed the Ptur in French. So the minig is that the woman doesn't keep, the woman today, for the last several centuries, she doesn't hold on to the get. She gives back the get to the rabbi who is Masada the get, and the rabbi takes another two people and they constitute a bezin, and they write a ptur for the woman. Why is this the minig is the question. My father used to be a Masada gittin for the rabbinical council for many, many years. So my father thought that maybe it says in the Achronim like this. He used to tell me that the reason why is because there's a cherem der abinatam shelo lahotzi laz al haget. Right after you finish giving the get, so the mesader haget, the rabbi who's supervising the whole thing, makes an announcement that no one's allowed to be ma'arer to say that there's something wrong with the get. That's a cherem der abinatam shelo lahotzi laz al haget. See, if the woman will hold on to the get, and when she's interested in remarrying, she's going to produce the get, some wise guy will be able to look at it and say, "Oh, they didn't write it correctly. They spelled the name wrong. They forgot to write one of the names." So we don't want to give anybody an opportunity to be ma'arer on the get. So we take away the get from the woman, and we only give her a document signed by the three members of the bezin. That's what we call a ptur. What do you write the get? What kind of a background do you write the get on? So years ago, they used to write a get on parchment, but then parchment is pretty expensive, so people couldn't afford. So they started writing get on paper. Then when the Jewish people became wealthy again and they were able to afford the parchment, so there was a discussion, maybe you should go back to the old practice of writing the get on parchment. So the Rabbanim said, no, there's a Gemara in the very beginning of Gittin. You're not supposed to introduce any new chumras in Hilchas Gittin. There was a period of time, there was 100 years when we were writing Gittin on paper. So if we're going to introduce a new Chumra now, we're going to write all the Gittin, people are wealthier now, we're going to insist on writing all the Gittin on parchment. So some wise guys are going to come up and say, and all the Gittin that were written in the last century are no good because they weren't written on parchment, they were written on paper. So Shalala Hotzi Laz, our Gittin Arishanim, so we don't introduce the Chumra. So now the minig is that we always write on paper. Yeah, that's the Kpeda, Shalala Hotzi Laz. We don't want to introduce any new Chumras in Gittin. Rabbi Kiveger introduced the Chumra in Hilchas Gittin, and he was dealing with that issue. You're not supposed to introduce any Chumras. The pasuk says the husband writes a get v'nasam b'yad v'shilcham ibesam. So he puts the get in her hand. That's a kinyan yad. Then the Gemara says, "Ein li eli yada." How do you know chatzera is good? What if he puts the get in her chatzer? So how do you know? Not at all in her yad. So tamalayma v'nasam mikol makom. So from that pasuk, you learn out that both that there's kinyan yad and that there's a kinyan chatzer. There would be room to distinguish and say maybe it's only a din by get who says that yad and chotzer work as a kinyan and kol ha-tarakula. So Gemara in the first perek in Bav Bensi around Daf Yud Aleph says no, you have a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that says by a ganef him he matzis si matzah biyodo hagneva chaim shnayim shalom. The ganef pays kefil only if he made a kinyan gneva. If he stole something but he never made a kinyan gneva on it, then he doesn't pay kefil. So what's considered a kinyan geneva? He matzi simatzi biyodo. There's a kinyan yad. How do you know chotzer? Let's say the ganav stole his neighbor's behemoth. He had the behemoth march from the next door neighbor's field into his own barn. I got your behemoth to walk into my barn. I live right next door to you. So I didn't make a kinyan on the animal. I brought the animal into my backyard, into my chotzer. So I made a kinyan chotzer. The kinyan geneva that I did was a kinyan chotzer. So you see from the pasuk himatzi simatzi biyad hagneva that yad is good and chotzer is good. So the Gemara says if you would have only had the pasuk by get, you would have thought it's his local din of get. If you only had the pasuk by ganav, you would have thought it's a local din of ganav. Once you have the two psukim, himatzi simatzi biyad hagneva by the ganav and the pasuk menasam biyad by the get, so that teaches us in Kol HaTarakula that yad is good and chotzer is good. So Rabbi Kivega has a chiddush and he says, If you, the minig is that you fold up the get. You fold up the get, it's small, and you have the woman hold her hands like this, and then the husband puts the get in her hands. So if the whole get is in her hands and part of it is sticking up above her hands, so that's a kinyan yad, and whatever's sticking up above is avir yad. So just like chotzer is kaina and avir chotzer is kaina, so yad is kaina and avir yad is also kaina. But what if he gives a get to his wife, like he give a diploma? So the get is partially in her hand and partially out of the hand. Rabbi Kivega says the part over here on the right side and on the left side, that's kinyan hagbah. That's not kinyan yad. And he has a chiddush against Taisus, he knows. Taisus says beferish that hagbah is good by a get and mashicha is good by a get. Rabbi Kivega thinks that it's no good. He thinks that there's a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi that he interprets to mean that Hagbah and Mashiach are not acceptable by get, you need dafke yad or chotzer. So you have to fold up the get so small that the whole get fits into her hand or sticks up above. That's Abra Yad, that's acceptable. My father was a Talmud in the yeshiva in the 1930s in Yeshiva College. There wasn't a yeshiva university then. It became a university under Dr. Belkin. That time they didn't even have the high school. The Europeans went to George Washington High School down the block. That's when I was a student in college, we had to go swimming. You had to be able to swim in order to graduate college. So Bekoshi, I could swim. So we used to do the swimming in George Washington because yeshiva didn't have, I think now they do have a swimming pool. I'm not sure. But at that time, they didn't have their own. So my father said he remembered that once Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that's Rav Soloveitchik's father, my father-in-law, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, once he was Masadar a get in the yeshiva, and he insisted, like Rabbi Kivega, you have to fold the whole get up. But that's not at all the common practice. Most people do not follow Rabbi Kivega. It's a real shailan adin deraisa. So Rabbi Kivega came up with this chumra. So then he says, but you're not supposed to introduce any chumras in Hilchas Gittin. Shalola hotzi laz al gittin harishanim. No one should think that the gittin that were written in earlier generations are no good. People will say, you have a new chumra, the whole get has to. So Rabbi Kevega says, no, but here you have to be motzi las because they're really all pasul. And the children are mamzerim if the woman remarried. Taka no good. He said, this is not a chumra, this is a real din. You're not letting introduce chumras. But he said, this is not a chumra, this is a real din. But it hasn't really been accepted. The Pischei Tshuva and Ebenezer writes that the meaning of all of the Masadri Gitin is not like Rabbi Kevega. Yeah. We said the practice used to be that they used to write a get on parchment, and then later, because they couldn't afford it, so they started writing Gittin on paper. So the Gemara in Gittin has a machlokes of Yosef, and Mishnah in Gittin has a machlokes of Yosef leading the Chachamim. The Pasuk says, the cost of law, Sefer Krisus. So Rabbi Yosef Glili thinks that Sefer means parchment, the background on which you're writing the get, parchment. Only Ella Sefer, maybe only parchment is good. What if you engrave the get on a piece of wood, or you write the get on a piece of paper, or you engrave it on a golden plaque? You have some other background other than parchment. Talmud Leimar, Kosov La Sefer Krisim, Benasim, and Talmud Leimar, the Kosov Mikom Makom. As long as it's a Ksav, it's good. So why does it say Sefer? And Sefer, Rabbi Yosef Glili thinks Sefer means parchment. So he says that whatever the background is, it has to be dumia, the Sefer, has to be something similar to parchment, to the exclusion of what's dissimilar. So he says, Oichlem and Balei Chaim. Let's say I'm going to, instead of having a wedding cake, maybe when they get married, they had a wedding cake, but now they're getting divorced. So let's say the husband will order a cake from the bakery, and they'll put an icing on top, and had his name, her name, everything, he gives it the divorce cake. So Rabbi Yosef Glili says that that's not acceptable, because it has to be dumya the sefer. Just like sefer is not oichlim, and sefer is not balechayim. Let's say he'll write the get on the back of an animal, or he'll write the get on the arm of an eved. I don't think it ever happened in the history of the world that anybody ever wrote a get on the arm of an eved, but the Mishnah has to cover every possible case in creation. So the Mishnah has such a din in abstract. If the get would be written on the arm of an eved, so Rabbi Yosef Glili holds that it's no good. He cannot write a get on Oichlim or on Balei Chaim because it has to be Dumi the Sefer. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yosef Glili, and we don't pass like him. We pass, and if he wrote on Balei Chaim, he wrote on Oichlim, it would be good. Because the word sefer doesn't mean the background upon which you're writing. Sefer means sfiras dvarim. You have to write sefer krisim, means you write the text of the get. It's self-understood, it has to be on some background. But the Chumash doesn't speak about any background. Not like Rabbi Yosef Glili, who translates that the word sefer means the background of parchment. Sefer just means the text of the get, and the background on which the letters are written is not even mentioned. So what do you need? So what do you need? Sefer the sfiras dvarim hu diosa. That the get has to have a text. Of course you need a text. What, the husband's going to give his wife a blank piece of paper and say, this is your get? Of course you have to have a text. So Rav Soloveitchik said, B'shem Rav Chaim, based on a Gemara, based on a Ran and Gittin, no, Sfiras Dvarim Yiserim. That a get needs a Sipur HaMaisa every shtar. That's the definition of a shtar. You need the Sipur HaMaisa. Let's say I want to sell you a house. So I wrote, Basi Mocholoch, a Basi Nosan Lochab Matana, and I write the address. I don't write the address. I only own one house. I write the Basi Shemakim Laini is Mocholoch. So that's okay. I wrote the Sipra Maisa, but by get, you need Sfiras Dvarim Yiserim. You need extra Lashonis that in other stories you wouldn't require. For example, the Mishnah in Gittin has a machlokes satanaim around daf pei hey or pei vav. Mishnah has machlokes abuna the rabbanon. A get is supposed to say b'dein the avi lichem inoy sefer truchen. It's supposed to say in the get an extra line that this piece of paper should serve as the document with which I am hereby divorcing you. And if it doesn't say that, it's a machlokes satanaim. Is it considered as if it's self understood? It's a yad. There's a din of yodis nedarim. If a person takes a neder, so you need levate bisosayim, a neder or a shvua. The original pasuk only says by shvua, nefesh ki sushava, levate bisosayim lahor lehetim. That's in Parshas Vayikron, Chumash Vayikron. So the original pasuk says by shvua, but the Gemara seems to assume the first Mishnah nedarim. So the Tosfos on the first Mishnah nedarim says, the Pashtus is that you need levate bisosayim by neder and by shvua, by all of them. but let's say he said an incomplete sentence, but self-understood based on the half of the sentence that he said. He said a whole bunch of phrases based on what he said. It's understood what he's driving at. Said that's a din of yodas nedar. So that applies whenever you need a text, not only a spoken text. If you have a written text, let's say a get, and the get is missing a word here and there, but it's self-understood what the missing word is. Let's say there's a shtar halvoy. A shtar halvoy says that the loy borrowed $100,000 from the malve, and it doesn't say all of my karkoy should be meshubed to collect, and you have a right even to collect from the lekuchas. They forgot to write that. So the Gemara says, achrayis is to a sefer. The fact that the sefer forgot to write kol nechas and meshubadim l'chayv zeh, that's self-understood. Unless they wrote peferish, they ain't kan shibin l'chasim, they ain't kol nechas and meshubadim l'chayv zeh. If you write no is no, so there won't be a shibin l'chasim. But if you didn't write one way or the other, that's self-understood. Because nobody lends a large sum of money. If I'm lending you $5, I don't need a shibin l'chasim on the $5. I'm not going to sell you a building in order to collect $5. But if I lend a significant amount of money, that's self-understood that there's shibin l'chasim. So whatever is missing from a document is considered ki'ilu nichtav dami based on the din of yadas. Just like there's a din of yad l'neder and l'shvua, there's a din of yad for a get as well. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. A get is really supposed to say b'dein de'hevi lichem inoy. This document should serve as the shtar kinyan with which you are hereby being divorced. And now that I'm divorcing you, you have a right to marry anybody you want. Let's say I sell you a house. So do I have to write? And this document should serve as the vehicle whereby the house belongs to you. Now that the house belongs to you, you have a right to burn it down. You have a right to knock it down and rebuild it. You have a right to sell it. What do I have to write? What is going to do with it? So what after I give a get to my wife, I have to write, and you have the right to marry anybody you want. So that's a special din by get. That sphere is Dvarim Yisrael. That's learned out from the Psukim. So the Mishnah has a machlokes hatanaim. What if he didn't write all of that? He didn't write v'den yehavi lichem minoy. So that's a machlokes. Sometimes I know that it's good midin yad. But what he needed in the first place is based on a pasuk. What he needed in the first place. So that's because of the din of sphere is Dvarim Yisrael. This is famous from the Ran. The Ran in Gittin, the Ran on the Rif, in the back, of the Gemara. The Ran on the Rif has a comment that if I write, I borrow $100,000 from you, and I write, I owe you $100,000, and I sign my name, and I give you the document. So I owe you, who is you? Whoever produces the shtar is the tfisas, bala shtar, is mashlem the muchach mitoichai. You know who the you is based on the fact that he's producing the shtar. So in a get, it's no good. The Ran holds, there's a din deraisa, has to have the shem habala and the shem hoisha. It's not enough if it says, I, Pliny, have divorced my wife, who's the bearer of this note. That's no good. It has to have her name in it. Rabbi Gamliel made a takana. You have to write all the names and all the nicknames and everything else. That's a takana de Rabbanan. But in principle, that you have to write the name of the husband, the name of the wife. So the Ran has a chiddush that's a din deraisa based on the din of Sfiras Dvarim. You need Sfiras Dvarim Yisrael. It's not enough. Just write the Sipra Hamaisa. You have to write extra. Yeah, there's a machlekes. What exactly was this Takanas Rabbi Gamliel that appears in the Mishnah? So the Svardim, if the husband and the wife are both Svardim, even if it's an Ashkenazi Bezdin, they should write the get the way the Svardim would write. You write the husband's name and you write V'chol Shumach Yisrael, whatever alias, whatever additional alias he goes under. And then you write the wife's name, and you write Chol Shum Chanicha Diisla, whatever other alias that she goes under. So this Svardim hold, that's all you have to write. Chol Shum Chanicha Dis, any other name or any other nickname that they have. The Ashkenazim, the Ramoa quotes that the Ashkenazi practices, you don't write that line Chol Shum Chanicha Diisla. You write, let's say, the man's name is Tzvi. When he was born by the Brits, they gave him a name Tzvi. Then they call him in Yiddish Herschel. So Tzvi is a Hebrew name and Herschel is a German name, a Yiddish name. So since if the first name is Hebrew and the second name is Yiddish or English, let's say Harry, let's say his name is Tzvi and they call him Harry. So you write the husband's name Tzvi and then you write HaMechune Herschel or you write HaMechune Harry because Kinoi means that the first name was Hebrew and the second name is Loshen Umas, a Goyish name. Let's say the both names, he has his name, by the Brits, they gave him a Yiddish name. many times by women. They don't even have a Hebrew name. They just have a Yiddish name, but they call them by a different name. So let's say they have a Yiddish name and they call it by a totally different name. So then you don't write Hamachuna, you write the Miskiri, or by woman you write the Miskaryo. So they have a lot of details in the Shulchan Aruch, how to spell, what's the traditional spelling of funny names. And whenever you write Takanas Rabbi Gamliel, to write Kol Shum Chanicha Disle, all the names and the nicknames, when do you write Hamachuna and when do you write the Miskiri? The get has a special din, the first daf in Gitna. Get has to be written Lushma. How many other stars have to be written Lushma? Exuba does not have to be written Lushma. Ashtamachiris Chametz does not have to be written Lushma. Tanoim does not have to be written Lushma. You can take a text that's printed and just fill in the names, fill in the date. A get, you can't take a text. The whole get has to be written Lushma. Which other star is Nixiba Lushma? So another two. Another star is Shichur Evid Kanaini, has to be written Lushma, and the third one is a Shtar Kiddushin. The three stars that affect the change in the area of Issa V'Heter. And all the other stars are all just Shtari Mammon. So then the din is that you don't need Ksiba Lushma. What does it mean, Lushma, that the Sefer who's writing it has to be authorized by the husband? If a Sefer, let's say, lives in a little village, there are only 10 Jewish families, has nothing better to do with his time. So he writes a get in the event that any one of the couples will have to get divorced, he's going to ready to write a get and leave it on file. And then when they want to get divorced, he has the get was written Lushma. So that's not called Lushma. It's only called Lushma if the husband authorizes the writing of the get to the Sefer. But the Sefer writes on his own, that's not called Lushma. And then when the Sefer writes, he should have in mind Lushma, that it's for this couple, or does he have to say it? So he mentioned the other day that that's a machloikis and taisus on the first daf in Zvachem and the first daf in Menoches in the middle of Psochem and Bob Metziah and in Kiddushin, there are taisus and all over Shas. There's a machloikis balia taisus when you talk about machsheves pigul. Machsheves pigul means you makre the korban intending to eat it chutz lizmanai. The shlomim, let's say today is Wednesday, so you can eat the shlomim today, tonight, and tomorrow till Shkia. He plans to put it in the freezer. He's going to eat it on Shabbos. He wants to eat the shlomim on Shabbos in Yerushalayim. So that makes it pigul. Even if he eats it today, he's chayv karis. Machsheves pigul makes it karis. Machsheves pigul chutz lizmana. If it's chutz limkayma, if he plans to eat it outside of Yerushalayim, that passes, but that's not called pigul. It won't be karis. Pigul is only in heyachal yochal bayom ha-shlishi. If you add machsheves chutz lizmana. So machsheves means thinking, or machsheves means saying. So that's a machlekes in Tosfos. So the Rosh, and Hilchas Sefer Torah writes, you have to write a Sefer Torah tefillin and mezuzah. Lishma means you say, machsheves lishma, you say it or you think it. So he thinks that it should depend on this machlekes, whether machsheves pigul means saying or thinking. So if machsheves pigul needs speaking, so then machsheves lishma should need speaking also. The Mishnah Berurah is machman Hilchas Tzitzis. If you tied the tzitzis and you didn't say in advance that you're tying it, the shame mitzvah tzitzis, so that's considered shalad shema and it'll be possible. And it's interesting that one of the rabbanim who gave a haskama on the Mishnah Berurah wrote the Shad Hachubis, what's it called? I think Bnei Tzion, if I'm not mistaken. Shari Tzion. The Mishnah Berurah has haskamas on the first page. So one of them wrote a Chuvah Sefer, and he writes, would anybody in his right mind ever think of such a wild idea that if you tied tzitzis and you didn't say in advance, it's going to be possible? So the Mishnah Berurah, the Sefer that he gave a haskama, and writes like that, that if you tied the tzitzis and you didn't say in advance that you're tying a lishma, the whole tzitzis is supposed, you have to untie it and tie it all over again and say in advance that you're writing it lishma. You need nesina. The husband has to give the get to the wife. If he puts the get on the table and tells the wife, tligitach magabi karka, pick it up, and if you want to, you can become a goresha. If you don't want to, not. And she picks it up. So the Gemara said, that's no good. That's no good. I remember years ago, I met one of the Hungarian rabbi who used to do the gittin for all the conservative rabbis, for the conservative movement. So he was supposed to be, he told people that he was a crackerjack in Hilchas Gittin. And my father told me that he once met this person, and he started talking to him in Hilchas Gittin. He says he never heard of this din of tligitach magabi karka. The boys are learning the yeshiva. That's the day number one you learn that tligitach magabi karka is no good. The machlekes and achronim, whether tligitach magabi karka is no good by shichar ebik naini also, because it's a gezeirah shava law. Just like by getisha, you need ksiba lishma, so by also in Niksiva Lishma, there's a Gezerishava. So there's a Machlekes in Sanachranim, how far does the Gezerishava go? Does it mean that you even need Nesina and Tli? Shtar Shichu Rech, Me'agabi Karka is also no good or no? Only goes on Niksiva Lishma, that's a question. So the husband always has to give the get in person. So let's say the couple is separated. The husband lives in New York, the wife lives in California. So he can send a shliach. And the shliach, the husband can appoint the shliach, and the shliach will give the get. Yeah, what if he's not going to send the shliach? So he wants to send the get by mail. So he can't send the get by mail. The goy is a mailman, even if he's a Jewish mailman. He wasn't appointed as a shliach l'hoylech as a get. That's no good. So the husband has to appoint the shliach here. And whenever you write a get in chutz l'aretz, that's the first Mishnah in Gittin, the shliach who wants to deliver it has to say b'fanei nechtam, to make sure that it was written l'shma. In chutz l'aretz, they didn't know the dinim so well. In Eretz Yisrael, in the days of the Tanoim, the Sofrim were more learned. They knew that a get has to be written l'shma. In chutz l'aretz, they were less learned. So the Chachamim made a takana, whatever a get was written in chutz l'aretz, and then if the husband gives it, he doesn't have to say b'fanei nechtam, he gives the get. But if a shliach of the husband is delivering the get, he has to say b'fanei nechtam. So what if the husband wants to mail a get to California, or the wife lives over there? So he's going to appoint the shliach. He calls up on the telephone, he says, I want to appoint so-and-so as a shliach. So that's fine. But if he's the shliach, but he's not here when the get is written, so he can't say b'fanei nechtam. So the husband has to appoint the shliach here, whom we know is not going to go to California. He has an option. If he wants to, it'll cost the money. He's not going to go to California. And then he says in the presence of a Bezdin here in New York, he can meet a Bezdin of three, and he says, b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, and I, the Shliach Rishon, want to appoint the Shliach Sheni, so-and-so who lives in California. The Bezdin of California tells us, tell the Shliach Rishon to appoint the Shliach Sheni. So then the Shliach Sheni, I can send a get in the mail, from the Shliach Rishon to the Shliach Sheni, that's not the Nesina. Then the Shliach Sheni, when he's about to give the get to the Isha, doesn't have to say, b'fanei nechtam. He just says, Shliach Bezdin ani. I was appointed by the Shliach Rishon in the presence of a Bezdin. When the Shliach Rishon in New York appointed me on the telephone, he appointed me as the Shliach Sheni. So then the Shliach Sheni in California who gives the get to the Isha just says, Shliach Bezdin ani. I was appointed a Shliach Sheni under the auspices of a Bezdin, so you don't need any more questions. So when for the Nesinus I get, if the husband doesn't give in person, you have to have a Mina Shlichus. What about for the Ksivus I get? Does the husband have to appoint the Sefer as the Shliach to write the get? Because of law, Sefer Krisis means the husband writes the get, or the husband appoints a Shliach to write the get, or no. The ksivas I get, you don't need shlichas, you need tzibui habal. The husband has to authorize. If the husband doesn't authorize, then it's not considered lishma. So that's a big machlokes in Tosfos around Daf Chav Gimel and Gittin. It's not in there. A lot of yeshivas, they think you learn the first 10 blot in Gittin, you know all there is to know. You will not all there is to know. You will not know all. There are a lot of dinim after the first 20 blot. Every daf, there's another din in Hilchas Gittin. And my time is up. We didn't even scratch the surface. Okay, so there's a lot more to discuss in Hilchas Gittin. Tomorrow, Belineta, we will be discussing Chalitza. B'shal Tov Matzlachas. Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Very good.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Everyone should be well. We'll see you
tomorrow. Amen. Then.